is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Praise to you indeed, O Lord. When people go down to the sea in ships and do their business in the great waters, they see the wonders of the Lord. And when the waves rise high, the Lord is with them, and he brings us out of all our troubles. Lord Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Refresh us, we pray, with this vision of yourself in greatness, power, and love. Help us to hold on to that truth, for you are that, Lord Jesus, today, as far as we are concerned. Grant us this blessing, the blessing of a fresh vision of yourself, the blessing of open eyes, the blessing of turning our eyes upon Jesus. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen. You know that silly expression, jam yesterday and jam tomorrow, but never jam today?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Well, learn then. I've forgotten where it is, but somebody had that rather gloomy view of life. Jam yesterday, jam tomorrow, but never jam today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus yesterday, the Lord who died on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might have an assured place in heaven. Jesus tomorrow, the coming Lord in all his glory. And if it should be our blessing from God to be alive and on earth on that day, then oh the glory. But if we've gone ahead, then we come with them and we share the glory anyway. And today, he's still the same. Now, if you've got your Bible open, look with me at three words in that lovely, lovely little story. In verse 48, it says, he saw. He saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind. He saw. And again in verse 48, in the second half of the verse, he came. He saw them in difficulties. He came to them, walking on the sea. And when they were terrified, verse 50, he spoke to them and said, take heart. And if you want to be ungrammatical, what he said to them was, take heart, it's only me. Of course, speaking grammatically, he said, it is I. It's only me. Matthew has a little bit added to this story. When Jesus came to them walking on the sea, oh, incidentally, can I put a bit of translation right for you? You see at the end of verse 48, the very end of verse 48, he intended to pass them by. That's the word by in the sense of come and sit by me. Come and sit alongside. He intended to come alongside the boat. The ghostly figure was actually making for them. That's why they were terrified, as indeed they would be. But look at those three words. He saw, he came, he spoke. He saw that they were in difficulties. He came to them, and he spoke to them. Words of comfort. It's only me. You're all right. Matthew adds a little bit in extra into this story that for some reason Mark doesn't tell us, nor indeed does John. That when Jesus came near the boat, Peter said, Lord, if this really is you walking on the water, then tell me to come to you. And Jesus had come, and Peter got out of the boat. And I could never understand why he said that and why he did that until somebody gave our daughter Kate a ladybird book. Do you remember? Did you? You've given your grandchildren ladybird books. And the ladybird book was the little boat that almost sank. And between you and me, when you looked at the collection of bald heads and grey beards that were in charge of the boat, you didn't wonder that it almost sank. You wondered that they'd been let out on their own. Why are people in the Bible always portrayed as so old? They were all young men running a fishing business, strong as horses. But they couldn't manage this one. But why did Peter say, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you walking on the water"? The ladybird book says, because in a storm, it's safer to be with Jesus than to be in a boat. Do you like that? Good, isn't it? In a storm, it's safer to be with Jesus than to be in a boat. Be that as it may, Peter represents something that's true of us in the storms of life. We'd rather be somewhere else. And the message of this little incident, this marvelous little incident in our Gospels, is that no, the Lord doesn't take us out of the storm. He comes to us in the storm. It's a much deeper lesson. He doesn't take us out of the storm. We would love that. We would love our circumstances to be changed. And sometimes he does, but most times he doesn't. We would love our circumstances to be other than they are. But he says, no. In these circumstances, I come to be with you. He saw them straining at the oars, and he came to them. You carry this one away with you? Think of a huge picture, the storm, the boat, Jesus walking on the water. They're in difficulties. He comes to them. Isn't that good? And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was like that yesterday. Here it is in your Bible. He'll always be like that. But he's like that now. When the storms come in our lives, Jesus comes with the storm to be with us. He came to them. Do you notice his greatness? The thing that was too much for them wasn't too much for him. He's walking on the water. It's not given to us to do that. But how great he is. On Easter evening, as we call it, when the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." John 19. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. When they were in fear, he came to them. It's the same picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to them. He's not hemmed in by our limitations. We can't walk through doors. He can. We can't walk on the sea. He can. And they were faced by a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children, and all they had was five buns and 2 sardines. Where are we going to get food to feed all this crowd? And Jesus said, well, why don't you bring your poverty to me? Let me join you in your poverty and let's see what happens. And the marvel is that 5 small buns and 2 sardines, so little, became enough. And they all ate and were satisfied. We could go on and on, couldn't we, in the stories in the Gospels, the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was like that then, he'll be like that then in the future. Ah, but this is the real one. He's like that now. He's still the same Lord who sees us straining at the oars, and he comes to us. That's his greatness. What about his power? The wind was against them and they were making no headway. The waves were rising against them. He comes walking through the wind, walking on the water. The stormy conditions that are too much for them are under his feet. Even death is under his feet, beloved. Do you remember when death came into the house of his friends, Mary and Martha, in Bethany, and their rather spoiled brother died, Lazarus? Do you remember? Along with their bereavement, Jesus came. The Master has come and is calling for you, said Martha to Mary. The Master has come and is calling for you. Jesus came to them. And death, which to them was the impenetrable final black line drawn across life, and they couldn't cross it, nor could Lazarus cross it back. And Jesus came and called him out of the tomb. In the same way, dear ones, as when he decides our time has come, he'll bring us who trust in him across that black line into eternal glory. And we'll wonder why ever we wanted to hold on to this life, the very moment we taste that life, when we see him face to face. Then at last we'll know how deeply we've been loved, how fully we've been forgiven, how secure and eternally happy and content we are. We are in his presence. He'll bring us across the black line into eternal glory. What power! Even death is subject to him. And why did he come to them? Because he was watching them. He saw that they were straining at the oars. We don't read in this passage that they had a prayer meeting and called upon him. We don't read that they were so terrified that they cried out. No, maybe they did. But it's not recorded because it's not the point. The point is that from his vantage in the hills, he had his eye on them all the time. He knew exactly how they were placed. He's a great Lord. He's a powerful Lord. He's an unforgetting Lord. He never forgets us. He never takes his eye off us. He knows exactly how we're placed, and he knows exactly how long to leave us there. And the Greek says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Why didn't he come in the first watch, or the second watch, or the third watch? Did they wonder why they were left so long in that situation? The answer is locked away in his mind. He knows exactly the right time to come, and in the meantime, he's watching and he's caring, and no harm will come to them because he's got his eye on them. He saw that they were straining at the oars, and when his moment came, he came to them. How great he is, how mighty he is, how loving he is. In the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, it says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. I tell you one thing about that. You can't pray for somebody without having them at the very center of your mind. You can't pray for somebody without thinking about them. You can't pray for somebody without having their name on your lips. He ever lives to make intercession. He is the Lord who is aware of us all the time, who has his eye on us all the time, not to condemn, but to save. To come and rescue us. Well, that's about it. It's our old friend. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As we sang in our opening hymn, praise with us the God of grace.
Please turn to page 7 in your service.